Friday afternoon, and Catherine's back from Katie's Garden, and we're talking today grown-up gardening, aren't we? Not just for next year or the year after, big stuff, serious gardening. We're looking at trees this week, and I think this is fabulous, because not enough is spoken about trees, is it, really? We just take it for granted.
No, so, you know, I'm sure we don't have to remind people, but it is tree planting season. It kind of runs from sort of November through to February, March. Do it now at this time of year because they're dormant.
Oh, they're asleep now, so we don't disturb them. Is that what it is?
Yes. So, technical term, they're not doing nothing. They're, you know, they might have still got some fruit, some berries, some leaves on them, but they're not producing anymore. They're just kind of sat around. So, it's a good time to get them in the ground because the roots can just concentrate on settling into their new surroundings and the weather as well. You know, it's cooler, it's wetter. Good conditions for any plant to settle in.
It's a great time to start planning because we've done all the difficult work in the garden. Now we're looking around and thinking we could do with a tree here or there, couldn't we? So it's a good time. It's good for the environment. We know that. It's good for nature. But planting trees makes you feel good because it's not short term, is it? As I say, we're doing plants. It's next season or next year. But trees are long term.
Yeah, anyone who's, you know, started with a new garden, a blank canvas, maybe they had a new build house, you'll know it can feel quite sterile and soulless. But, you know, going to sound like hippies here, aren't we? But, you know, I think trees just really give a garden a space. They give it soul. There's this real sense of permanence with them. You know, they're often bigger than us. They often live longer than us. So if you're planting a tree, you've got a stake in the future. You know, potentially leaving a legacy. You know, you're leaving the mark on the land. And I just think that's such a wonderful thing to do.
That's why we need to plan it and get it right, don't we? Because we're going to probably be spending more money than we usually do on plants, because a tree's going to cost more money. But a lot of people, Catherine, they don't have such a big garden, because I'd love to fill my garden full of trees, but they grow big. And so we're going to be careful of the size of the tree we buy, haven't we?
Yes, definitely. But you know, a really great option, if you are pushed for space, is to go for the fruit trees. Because, you know, plant breeders, nursery growers, we know what people want. We know gardens have been getting smaller and smaller in this country. So these days, you will actually struggle. If you wanted to get a fruit tree that was going to get huge, if you wanted a pear tree that would grow 30 foot, you probably won't be able to find one. Because these days, what's available, they're going to stay nice and small. They're not going to fill your whole plot.
And that makes it easy to harvest your fruit if you're not climbing up great big ladders all the time to get them. So they're more manageable. They're made for the modern age, aren't they?
Definitely. You know, most of us on tippy toes, we could virtually pick the whole crop on some of these. Mm.
So what are we talking about? What sort of fruit trees should we go for, do you think?
Well, most common ones that you're going to find in this country, the apples and pears, plums, cherries. Some are slightly out of the box. There's quince, gage, damsons. In East Anglia, because we're a bit milder than a lot of the country, you know, it's worth a go. Some of these stone fruits like apricot, peach, nectarine, you know, if they're some of your favourites, you could try growing one of them perhaps.
That is so rewarding. I mean, we lost our peach tree. We had a peach and a nectarine. We lost a peach tree this year. It just had to go. But picking peaches off your own tree is, it's amazing. You cut, because you know the joy of a peach when you hold it in your hand, this wonderful creation. And then you bite into your own peach and it dribbles all down your chin. That's the way fruit should be, isn't it?
Well, especially them, because they always make such a mess. Best to just pick them straight off the tree, eat them in the garden. Don't worry about making a mess of the living room or anything.
So how do we choose? We know what we can decide what sort of fruit we'd like. So how do we choose what tree? How do we go for?
Well, there are some factors which can feel a bit scary and technical. So I'll talk through them and then I'll say, you probably don't have to worry about any of this. But it's because some people are very good. They start doing their research and then they get panicked by all these things that start coming up. And you kind of go, ooh, I don't know what all this means. So one of the things that could come up if you're looking into it is the rootstock. And we're saying about how they don't get huge these days. And, you know, a Victoria plum is still a Victoria plum. But what's happened is it's been put on a different rootstock. It's put onto the root of a different plant that isn't going to get so big. So, you know, they're Frankenstein's monsters these days. Top of one tree has been cut off and stuck onto the bottom of another tree.
It's very clever that grafting, isn't it? I mean, it's manual work, and it's so clever how it works. And the person who discovered it is a genius, because, as you say, the tree is fooled in thinking it's a small tree and it won't grow too big. And that's the way we want it.
And I suspect the person who found that out was before television and the internet was discovered.
Oh, yeah.
They had the time to go, oh, I wonder what will happen here.
Mm.
But I have to say, it's on my sort of bucket list. I've still never tried grafting anything myself.
I've done it once. I did it once. I did it with a former garden programme. I went to a place at Ufford and he showed me how to graft. And I just grafted a small tree and it really worked. It is tricky, but a little bit of a skill, but it's worth having a go. So, I'll give you a lesson one day. You have to nip round here and we'll give you a lesson.
Yes. When all this is over and we're allowed to meet people again. But yeah, so people listening, don't worry. You don't have to do that. Somebody has done that for you. But you're going to see all these weird codes like M27 and MM106. But in practice, most things, they're going to be what's known as semi-dwarfing or semi-vigorous. It means that, you know, an apple tree these days, most of them are going to grow to about 10 foot. You might go up to 15 foot for some of the cherries. And pears maybe, but they're not going to get huge, so they're going to be the right size for your garden. The only thing to look out for is if you want to grow a tree in a pot, which I have to say I'm not big on that. I think poor old trees, they don't want to do that. But if you do, you need to make sure it's one that's on a dwarf rootstock, and it'll probably be just marked as being as a patio tree. So again, it should be quite easy to work out. But again, they're just going to grow to say 5 foot or something, and they're going to be happy in a pot. Don't go putting a normal pear tree into a pot. It's not going to be happy. It's a very mean thing to do. It's a bit like leaving a child in shoes that are too small or something. It's not going to thrive. It's not going to be happy. It's all squashed in. So make sure you are getting a patio one for a patio pot.